Praise God, praise God. Let me get hooked up here. Praise the name of the Lord.
You know, I like what Clyde said about surrender. You know, years ago one time I was reading in James, and in James he talks about the perfect law of liberty. And, I asked the Lord when I was looking at that scripture, I said, Lord, what is the perfect law of liberty? And I felt like he said, surrender. You know, in the natural, if you want to be at liberty, you don't surrender. Usually, you fight, you know. But I'm going to tell you what, that isn't the way it is with the Lord. When you surrender to him, then you gain a surpassing victory. Praise God. That's not what I'm going to talk to you about today, but I just thought I'd throw that out there because, you know, the perfect law of liberty in Christ is surrendering to him. Praise God. The title to the sermon today is Always Succeed in Christ. Okay, we need to start succeeding, you know? We need to start having some victories. You know, over these sicknesses and over all the things that are going on in our lives, you know, we need to start getting some victories. And you know, I'm going to pause for a word of prayer before I get into this. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just ask you to have your way here today. I ask you that as I share this little word here today, Lord, that you would just touch our hearts and touch our lives and help us realize, Father, that in you, we're more than conquerors no matter what's going on. If we'll just trust you and we'll move and flow with you. In Jesus' name I pray, and I give you all praise, glory, and honor for everything that you do here today, because you alone are worthy of it all. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise God. You know, Thomas Edison was the most prolific inventor in modern times. Perhaps, maybe even ever. You know, he invented a lot of things. And, you know, Thomas Edison was kind of deaf because he'd had some problems as a boy. But he didn't let them things hold him back, you know. And, you know, he made scores of attempts to invent the light bulb. And after an unsuccessful effort, one of his associates said to him, "Well, you failed again." And his reply was, "No," replied Edison, "I have succeeded again. I know now another way not to try to invent the light bulb." You know, attitude has a lot to do with altitude in God. The Lord gave me that years ago. If your attitude's right, your altitude is going to be high in God. You're not going to walk even on this plane if you keep your attitude in the right place. You know, we know that in Matthew there's the Beatitudes, you know. And what it's saying there really is be these attitudes. And and I'm going to tell you what, I love Edison's attitude there. Because he said, no, he says, I've succeeded again. He said, I now know another way not to try to invent the light bulb. And you know what? You know what they say about mental illness or being crazy is? You know what they say? When somebody's crazy, they try to keep doing the same thing and expect the different results. And you know, when something don't work, it don't work. Do it some other way, you know? Philippians 3:13-16 says this, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead. I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And this is the New King James Version I'm reading out of. Therefore, let us, as many as be, as are mature, to have this mind. And it says, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. And you know what? Sometimes we need God to reveal to us that our thinking is stinking. It's the wrong thinking. That we're, the reason we're not being successful at something is because we're taking the wrong attitude, and it's keeping us from getting into the right altitude in Him. Praise God. You know, it's funny, even in airplanes, when people fly airplanes, I don't know, I'm not a pilot, so I don't know all the jargon, but I know they have things that are called attitudes in planes, and they have something that's called altitude. And I don't know if when your attitude ain't right in a plane, you crash into the ground, which could be, but I'm going to tell you what, we need to ask God to give us the right attitude so that we can attain the right altitude in Him. It says, therefore, let as many of us as be mature have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. And I'm going to tell you what, I know, having worked in a machine shop, and Mark can, he's done that, and Clyde's done things, and I know that even in the chemical business where you work, Clyde, and I know with you, Damon, you work with kids in schools and stuff. You know, when you're doing something and it isn't working, you got to change. You got to do it some other way because it's not working. You know what I mean? I know in a machine shop, a lot of times I'd be trying to machine a part and it just wasn't coming out right. And you know, usually what I would do most of the time, I'd step back and get quiet for a second and go within and say, God, you got to help me. I don't know what to do with this thing. And I can tell you this, when you are machining parts trying to hold real, real tight tolerances, sometimes if you got any hair, you feel like pulling it out because they're asking you to do things that are almost impossible to do sometimes. And yet, I've found out over the years that when I would go within and get quiet and still and before the Lord and say, Lord, please help me. I don't know what to do about this. All of a sudden, I'd try this or try that, and stuff would start working all of a sudden. And before you know it, I'd have that part finished, and it would be within the tolerances or whatever. I used to have a guy that worked with me, and he had 30 years experience, and he was an older guy. And he was kind of a proud type guy, you know, very proud. And I had these parts that I used to run that I had to hold. I had to make them in tenths of a thousandth of an inch in increments and make them exact size, you know, because it went in printing press and a multiple color printing press. And if everything wasn't exactly the right size, those rollers would turn at the wrong speed. And then what would happen is it would do color prints and they would be blurry. Everything had to be just perfect. Well, when I hired this guy in at the shop, he'd run some other jobs, and then some of those rolls came in, and I told him, I said, well, you know, I'm going to have you grind these rolls. And he'd rough ground them, and then we had them chrome plated, and then they'd come back, and then we would take them to the actual finished sizes. And he looked at them tolerances, and he said, I can't do that. I said, yes, you can. He said, I can't do that. He said, I can't make them exactly all those sizes. I said, yes, you can. He said, no, I don't think I can. I said, yes, you can. And he says, well, I don't think I can. I said, well, you step back and I'll show you. And I started running some, and I made them right exactly to those sizes. And I said, you see what I did? You see how I did it? He said, yeah. I said, now, make them sizes. He said, okay. Because I showed him that you could do it. See? Now, the thing about it is that if he'd have kept that same attitude, he would have never been able to do it. Because, first of all, he wouldn't have even tried to do it. I'd have ended up having to run them parts every time they came through. And that was a pretty, we used to make about $60,000 on that job in a year's time, because we did them quite a bit. And I just ended up turning that job over to him and letting him run it every time it came through. And I would do all the odds and ends stuff, because that was the harder stuff to do, because you had to make a lot of setups and stuff. And anyway, it just goes to show you, and I had him a couple times when we had a couple jobs that were pretty hard to do. He would wait and get the thing down to the point, because he'd keep wrestling with it, and get it down to the point where it was almost scrap. And then he'd come and get me. And he'd say, this thing's out around, or it's this or it's that. And he'd say, I'd say, well, let me take a look at it. And I'd look at it, and I'd check it, and I'd think, oh, my God, he's got me down to where there ain't nothing left there hardly. I mean, you know, so I'd step back, you know, and I'd pray, and I'd pray, and I'd say, you know, go within. I'd pray, and I'd quiet and still prayer. I'd say, Lord, you got to help me with this. And I would salvage that part. And then a lot of times when we would go to run parts, I knew all of the tooling that we had. And he didn't know the tooling that we had. You know, I knew what we had that you could make this work for that and nickel and dime things around and make it work. And I'd go over a lot of times and tell him, well, Bob, you need to use this and this and this to set this up. And I could tell he was getting kind of offended when I do that. And he said to me, he says, you know, he says, I've been doing this stuff for 30 years. He says, I have to say, I don't like when you come and start telling me how to do something. I said, well, let me put it to you like this, Bob. I said, I know the tooling that we have. You don't. So I know where it is. And rather than you trying to start to set something up and not be able to find the right stuff and taking a long time to get it set up, I can tell you, go get this, this, and this, and then you can set up with that stuff. And I said, now, if you're going to get upset every time that I tell you something, you're going to spend a lot of time being upset, because I'm going to tell you. And I said, if you don't like it, I said, you're going to have to learn to like it. I said, because I'm just trying to help you and make it easier on you, because I know what we have here. You know, because sometimes you might have to go get a certain center and put in a sleeve and get another sleeve or this or that and do all kind of goofy stuff, because while he didn't have all of the proper tools that you should have had to do the job. Because I saved him tons of money by rigging things around and making them work, you know, rather than spending his money to buy a bunch of tools and stuff. So anyway, but eventually I could just leave him go, and you know, I mean, I had to actually get into it with him a couple of times, because I told him, I said, look, you got 30 years experience, I got 35 years experience. And I said, I'm sure I can learn a few things from you. And I said, and I'm willing to learn anything that you can show me that I don't know. And I said, and I know you can learn some things from me. I said, because I've been exposed to a lot of different stuff over the years. And I said, If you're going to get upset every time I tell you something, buddy, you're going to spend a lot of time being upset, because I'm going to tell you, you know. And I mean, I wasn't trying to be ugly with him, but you know what? Pride, you know, pride goes before a great fall. And when you're too proud, you're going to make mistakes. Things are going to go wrong. And, you know, he kind of calmed down after a while. And a lot of them jobs that I helped him get going with, then after he did them the first time, he'd know right where the tools was and what to use and everything like that. But, you know, so many times we actually hurt ourselves because we have the attitude of, I can't do this or I can't do that, you know. And I tell you what, if you can teach me something, I'm willing to learn anything I can, you know. And because you just put yourself in a position where, you know, you don't achieve the things that you could achieve, you know what I'm saying. But anyway, I'm going to read that to you again, Philippians 3:13-16. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to the things which are ahead, I press towards the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as be mature. And you know, a lot of times, if you aren't willing to learn something or are willing to admit that you don't know something, you're not very mature. And sometimes we're not as mature as we think we are. And I'm going to tell you what, we need to realize, I've said this and I've said it many a time, and I've said I would gladly trade what I know for what I don't know, because there's a whole lot more that I don't know than what I do know. But thank God for the things that he has taught me that I do know. But if therefore as many of us as are mature have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. You know, Scripture says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. Well, what was the mind that was in Christ Jesus? It was the mind of God. And why did he have the mind of God in a human form? Because God had to show us that Christ in you was going to be the hope of glory. That same mind that was in Christ can be in you if you submit yourself to the Lord. And first of all, you have to start believing that you have it. There's another scripture that says we have the mind of Christ. But you might say, well, you know, Oscar, I don't feel like I've got the mind of Christ all the time. Well, until we get to the point where we do feel like we have it all the time, we're not going to have it because we're not going to function in it. But it's a process, and it's a growth process. And just like you know, as you're growing up, you know, when your kids are real little and they look at mom and dad, they think, boy, mom and dad are smart. They know everything. And as they grow a little bit, then all of a sudden they get about 14, 15 years old. Man, they're stupid. They don't know anything. You know, they start thinking mom and dad ain't too smart after a while. And then about the time they get about 30 or 40, they start realizing mom and dad were pretty daggone smart. I should have learned that lesson a long time ago. So it's kind of a up and down thing in life. And you know what? It's like that in the Lord too. I tell you what, God knows exactly how to humble you. If you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt you in due time. He has to do the exalting. You can't exalt yourself. If you do, you're going to be in big trouble because it ain't going to work. You know, I got a little story here. There was a military tactician. He said that the battles are won before they're ever fought. Think about that. The battles are won before they're ever fought. And he said, that's the way of saying that victory depends on the prior preparation. Now, if you made the right preparation and everything goes the way it's supposed to go, that battle's already been won because you've made the right preparation. And you know, the only preparation that you really need to make in God is begin to ask the Lord, Lord, what would you have me do in this situation and under this circumstance? And then go along with his battle plan. Praise God. It said, another general called it making a good ready. In other words, making sure that you're good and ready when you go and you do something. The same principles apply in spiritual warfare. God is in Christ, and he's made all the necessary prior preparations in effecting his eternal purpose of the redemption of us, and he gave us victory over sin. Now, you know, we're going to come to a place as we keep growing up in Christ to where all of the promises in God are going to start showing themselves. You know, I think there's one problem sometimes because there's some certain people, and I've said this before, that instead of working with the Word of God, they try to make the Word of God work for them. Well, I got news for you. The Word of God will never work for you. It will only work for God. And you say, well, what's the difference? The difference is that when God tells you to do something, then it's going to work. When you try to do it on your own sometimes, then you make a mess out of it. You know, I was telling these guys, we got to talking a little bit about Clarice Fluitt back in Sunday school a couple weeks ago, and we was talking about her, you know, when after she got saved, she told this story that she got invited to this conference, you know, and she hadn't went out and spoke or anything at that time, and she gets there and it's all men, and she's a woman, and she thinks women are only supposed to minister to women at that point. That's the way, that was her thinking at that point. You know, women should minister to women and men should minister to men. That's the way she, sort of her understanding was at that time. So one of the head guys there was a lot of big name ministers there apparently. One of the head guys there, and he's a big heavy guy, and she tells him, she says, I don't know if I can get up and speak to all these men like this. He said, oh, you can do it, sis. You're fine. You can do it. You know, just do whatever the Lord tells you to do, that kind of thing. Well, she gets ready to get up. And before she got up, that minister started coughing, and he fell on the pulpit and had a heart attack. And he died. And she said, all of the ministers on the platform gathered around him, and they're checking him and stuff, and they're all pronouncing him dead, you know. She said they called the life squad. The life squad showed up. They pronounced him dead. And she said she's standing over on the side and said the Lord speaks to her and says, go raise him up. And she said... She said, Lord, I don't know if I can do that. You know, so she said, go raise him up. And then the Lord said, and act like you've done it before. And she went over and she rebuked death off of this guy. Well, he coughed, you know, and all of a sudden he got up and he was okay. Well, she said, I got so many invitations to minister, go minister places. She said, and God wouldn't let me take a one of them. Amen. Not a one of them. He said, because they're asking you to come because they seen the miracle. Not for the right reason. It was fishes and loaves. That's right. That's exactly what it was. And she said, God wouldn't let me take a one of them. And you know, that's what I'm saying about, if you understand that when God tells you to do something, you're not responsible for what he tells you to do. You're only responsible to be obedient and do what he tells you to do. You're not responsible for the outcome. You're not responsible for what takes place after that. That's all you're responsible for. I know years ago one time, there was a couple people come into church and they hadn't been in here in a lot of years, and this was quite a few years ago. And the Lord gave me a prophetic word for them. And I went back and I gave them the prophetic word. Well, one of them's father used to be an elder in this church at one time years ago, you know, and he'd been out of this church for a long time. Well, he went to one of the other elders, and apparently they didn't heed the word that I had given them, you know. And he got on that elder of the church and said, well, that Brother Oscar should have went and followed through and made sure that everything happened like it said and all this and that. And that guy came and told me that elder. But I thank God that I listened to God's wisdom, not man's. And God gave me exactly the right thing to say to him. I said, you know what? I said, when God gives me a word for somebody, I'm only responsible to give them that word and that word only. And I said, then I'm out of the picture. I said, it's not up to me to try and go and make it happen. If God tells me to go and make it happen, then I'll go and make it happen. But see, that takes the pressure off of you. That relieves the pressure of you trying to make the Word of God work. Work with the Word of God. When God inspires you to do something, you go and you do it only what He inspired you to do. And, you know, it sure takes the pressure off when you do that. You know, we used to sing this song, and I'm going to read that to you again. It says, a military tactician said that the battles are won before they're fought. And that was his way of saying the victory depends on prior preparation. One general called it making good ready. In other words, being good and ready. And the same principles apply in spiritual warfare. God in Christ has made all the necessary prior preparations in effecting His eternal purpose of redemption to give us the victory over sin. And it says here, and this is a song we used to sing a lot, and the Lord just kept bringing that to me this morning. The battle is over, and the victory's been won. Our old man is cast down in the image of Him. Our new man is standing, for the battle is won. And you know, the only thing that we can do to make sure that the battle is won is to spend more time with Jesus. He won all the battles on Calvary. We are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. You know, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us within. You know, my mindset must be, I'm a conqueror and I'm victorious. And I'm going to tell you what, until we get that mindset, a lot of times, even what we would call Satan, demons, and all this other stuff, and a lot of people like to talk about that stuff, but I'm going to tell you what, I don't talk about that too much, and I'll tell you why. Because the Scripture tells me not to give the devil no place. I don't give him no place. He's a whipped dog. Jesus whipped him on Calvary. He led captivity captive, and He gave gifts unto men. And I'm going to tell you what, when Jesus came forth, even the angels had to be told to worship Him because they had never seen God in the form of a man. And God is spirit. You can't see God with natural eyes. And see Him with spiritual eyes, He's everywhere, He's in everything. He's omnipresent. He holds everything together. Everything consists by Him. That chair you're sitting in, if the amount of God that's in that chair comes out of it, you're going to be falling on the floor. Because He holds everything together. And I mean, that's pretty vast when you say that. And a lot of people say, well, wait a minute, Oscar. No, that's what the Word of God says. It either says it or it doesn't. If all things consist by Him, then guess what? They all consist by Him, because of Him, because of His presence. We're living in a temporal realm, a temporary realm. There's an eternal realm. He's in the eternal realm. Praise God. We're conquerors through Him that loved us, and we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us within. Like I said, my mindset must be to conquer, that I'm a conqueror, victorious. I'm reigning with Jesus. I'm seated with Him in heavenly places, in Him. For the kingdom of God is where? Within me. I know no defeat, only victory. For the kingdom of God is within me. I know no defeat, only what? Strength and power. Until we start really believing that, we're not going to experience it. We need to start getting a different mindset. We need to start letting this mind be in us, which was in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to tell you what, the mind of God is nothing more than the attitude of God. You start having the attitude of God, you'll start ascending into the altitude of God. You'll start being seated together with Him in heavenly places. Why does it say that we're seated with Him in heavenly places? What happens? What are you guys doing while you're sitting there? You're resting. Why are you resting? If I told you that chair was going to collapse in 5 minutes because its time had run out, would you continue to sit in that chair? I'd get out of that sucker quick. I wouldn't want to fall on the floor. But I tell you what, when you're seated together with Him in heavenly places, you're seated in His authority and His peace and His power and His strength and His control. He has control of everything. Praise God. Our mind must be that I'm a conqueror, I'm victorious, I'm reigning with Jesus, I'm seated with Him in heavenly places, in Him, for the kingdom of God is within me. I know no defeat, only victory. For the kingdom of God is within me. I know no defeat, only strength and power. You know, God has given us everything essential and necessary to walk in victory. Whatever you need, God is your source and your supply. You know, I was watching a thing the other day about David, you know, King David. And they was talking about Goliath. And they told how tall Goliath was, that he was 9 feet and so many inches tall. 9 feet, that's big. Shaq's a big guy, but Shaq would be little compared to Goliath. Because Shaq was about 7 foot. Goliath was 9 foot tall. 2 feet taller than, I can't imagine that. And they said his chain mail was made of shekels or whatever they called it. It weighed 150 pounds. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm going to fight somebody and they put 150 pounds on me, I'd have a hard time moving very quickly at all. But 150 pounds on him was nothing because he was so big. They said his spear that he carried was like a weaver's beam. In other words, it was a big old pole like that, you know. But you know what? He stood on one side of the valley, and Israel was on the other side of the valley. And he stood out there and started railing against the armies of God. Send out your champion. Send out your champion. You guys, you're afraid. You're scared. You know what? King Saul, tallest guy in the kingdom, head and shoulders above everybody else. Pretty tall. That much taller than everybody else in the kingdom. He was hiding in his tent. Little old David come down through there bringing some supplies to his brothers. This is the same David that when Samuel had come down to to Jesse's house and said, God sent me down here to anoint one of your sons. And old Jesse says, well, okay, I'll pass him by. He had seven sons that he passed by. They were big, handsome guys, and Samuel stood back and he said, surely this one's him, God. God said, no. Another one passed by, handsome, big, strong guy. Surely this is him, God. No. Seven of them passed by. God told him no on every one of them. Finally, he said to Jesse, he says, hey, he says, is this all the boys you got? He said, well, I got a little boy out there and shepherding the sheep out there. He said, well, send and get him. And I want you to know, David was not no man. He was a boy. And when he came at, red hair, red, ruddy, they called him, little boy, came there. And guess what? That was God's choice. He was the eighth son. Eight is the number for new beginnings, new birth. I got news for you. We've been born again of the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. We've been brought into a place of new birth. Not of the seed of Adam anymore, but of the seed of Christ. Of the seed of God. And that seed can only bring forth after its own kind. And you farmers know that. You plant corn seed, guess what you're going to get when it comes up? Corn. And when the seed of God was planted in you, as it comes up inside of you, guess what it's going to bring forth? The nature of God, the Son of God. Same thing that Jesus. He was the firstborn among many brethren. Hello, brethren. That's you. You were born again of that incorruptible seed. That's who you are. Now, you can acknowledge yourself in the old Adam nature, and you know you'll be walking in dual personality. And I got news for you. Until you get that single personality and begin to realize who and what you are in Christ, you're not going to fulfill what Christ has called you to do. Praise God. But anyway, when David went forth, he went down by the brook. And that giant kept, bring out somebody, bring out your champion. If I win, you know, you got to serve us. And if you win, we'll serve you. And little David had went in and he told Saul, he said, send me out. He said, you know, I can't send you out there. I'm just paraphrasing here. He said, I can't send you out. You're just a boy. He says, no, send me out. He said, when I was out in the field, he said, I slew the lion and the bear when they tried to take the sheep. Because God's anointing had come upon him. And you know what? So what did Saul try to do? He tried to put his armor on David. Guess what? Man's armor will never get the job done. Anytime a man stands up and says, I'm the best, I can do this, I can do that, you better look out, because that's man's armor. If he's saying God's going to do that, that's a little different, because it's God. And he put that stuff on David, and David couldn't even move. It was so heavy. Remember, Saul was head and shoulders taller than all the people in Israel. He was a big dude. When he put the helmet on Saul and he put his armor on him, little David, little boy, he couldn't move. He took all that stuff off. And he went out there, and Goliath said to him, he said, hey, he says, you send out a boy with a stick like I'm a dog, you know. And what did David say to him? He said, I come to you in the name of God Almighty, or the Lord God. And he said, and I'm going to take your head. And he had five stones in his bag that he had picked up out of the brook. Five smooth, round stones. And you know, why was those stones smooth and round? Because they had been in the water for a long time. And they'd been run over by the water, and run over by the water, and run over by the water. Anytime Scripture talks about water, that's talking about the washing of the Word of God And that's exactly what it did to those stones. And David reached down in his bag and he took one of those stones out. We don't know which one. There was five of them in there. In Ephesians it says that there's five ministries: apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers, given for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we come into the unity of the faith, unto a really mature man. Now, if anybody in here can stand up and tell me, bless God, I'm a really mature man in the Lord, completely mature, then you don't need any of those ministries. But if you can't say that with a true heart, those ministries are still functioning. That's what they're for. And they're going to help you speak the truth in love. And that's what we have to do. We have to speak the truth in love, that we might grow up into Him in all things, even the head, which is Christ. Yes, measure the stature of the fullness of Christ. That's what it says in Ephesians 4th chapter. Well, anyway, he reached in there and he grabbed one of them. We don't know what he grabbed out of there. He might have grabbed the apostle one. He might have grabbed the teacher one. He might have grabbed up, who knows. But when he took that stone and put it in that sling, he spun that thing around and he hit that giant right between the eyes. And I'm going to tell you what, David's name, if you look at David's name in Scripture, it means beloved. It means love. Goliath's name, if you check it out, it translates out to shamefully expose, to make naked. And what do the problems and the giant things in your life always try to do to you? They try to shamefully expose you, show that you're not really a son of God, that you failed in this area, you failed in that area, or you didn't do this, or you said the wrong thing or did the wrong thing. The giant things are always trying to bring you down. But thank God that when love swung that stone, it hit that giant right between the eyes. And it had to hit him between the eyes, because it's the thoughts. That's where the thoughts are. That's where the thoughts are in you. That's where the giants are in you. You have to begin to come against those giants in the name of the Lord. And buddy, that thing fell, and it fell down. And then what did he do? He took that giant's own sword, its own words, and cut that thing's head off, and brought a great victory in Israel that day. A boy did it. Not a man, a boy. And let me tell you what, don't think because your kids are young or because they're little kids that the Spirit of the Lord can't use them. He can use them just as much as He can use you. I read about this one prophet guy one time when he was a kid. He started prophesying. And his prophetic word was so strong that some of the people was hiding under the piano because they'd done some things they shouldn't have done. They was afraid he was by the Spirit going to tell them. But I tell you what, don't never think because you're too young, you're too old, you don't speak good enough, you're not handsome enough, you're not smart enough, you're not this, you're not that. Don't let the giant tell you that stuff. Because you're exactly what God calls you to be. You're exactly what's needed for whatever situation He tells you to do. And you can do all things. All things. Not some things. Not a few things. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Where at? Within. And that strength has to come within. So there's nothing out here that's going to strengthen you. It's that in there. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Know you not, you're the temple of God. That very presence of God dwells in you. And you are a mighty warrior as far as it goes with God. Let me tell you what. When they took Jesus and wanted to crucify Him, He basically told them, He said, you know, and I'm paraphrasing again here. He basically was telling them, He said, you think you got me. He said, but I could call a legion of angels. He said, but this is preordained of the Father. He was the sacrifice. He was the Lamb of God. Praise God. So anyway, that's about all I got to share with you. I'm going to share this poem. I've shared it with you before, but I love this poem because I think it really talks to who and what we are. And the poem is called A Covenant I've Made. And this is a covenant God's made with you. I've given you life. I've given you love. I've given you freedom, my peace like a dove, to soar when the winds of adversity blow with the assurance and the confidence that you only can know. As you learn that I hold you in the center of my will, and you only can know this as you get quiet and still, and allow my spirit, my faith to impart, to write my words in the center of your heart. My plan I will unfold day by day as you wait before me and you learn to say, not my will, but thine be done. For that truly is a sign that you've become my son. And all that is mine, I will give it to you. As you grow to maturity, then you'll know what to do. I will give you my strength and even my power to meet each need in that self-same hour. My love will flow throughout all the earth, bringing all to repentance and even a new birth. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and I desire to fill it with all my love. Even as the waters cover the sea, I will cause my love to set all men free. Amen. Praise God. Well, praise the Lord. That's all I had to share with you. I'll close in a word of prayer. If anybody's got anything they want to say or add, feel free. Praise God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your words, for truly they are spirit and they are life. Father, we are to succeed in Christ. You want us to succeed in you because we are more than conquerors. We are kings and priests unto God. We are everything that your word declares. That's who we are, Father. We're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that we should show forth the praises of him that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. I ask you, Father, to just cause this word to sink down into hearts, and for people to quit telling themselves they can't do it, they can't do it, they can't do it. You can, and you can, as God tells you to do it. The thing to do is wait for him to tell you to do it. Don't try to jump out ahead of him. Wait for him to give you the word. He'll give you the word. He'll give you the word when it's time. But praise God, it's time for this body of Christ to begin to rise up. Last couple weeks ago, Kathy got up and read Psalm 82. And in Psalm 82, it says, how long, O God, will you let the earth be out of course? How long will you let Elohim? And you know what? And he said, I have said you are Elohim, sons of the Most High God. You know. And I want you to know that his word declares who you are. And if you start declaring that you're something other than what he says, you're walking around in mistaken identity. You're walking in a false identity. You're no longer part of Adam's race. You're a new creation man. You've been born again of that incorruptible seed of the Word of God. And as God directs you to do something, he's given you everything you need to be able to do it. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Well, that's all I had to share with you today. And I'm not going to say I hope this is ministered to you, because I know that God gave it to me, so it's going to minister to somebody. If it's not for you, it'll be for somebody that hears it on the internet, you know. Praise the Lord. So God bless you all. Go and have a wonderful day. And quit telling yourself I can't, and start saying I can, I can, I can. All right? Praise the Lord. God bless you.